Good evening. This is KGVM 95.9 on your dial from Bozeman, Montana. And this is the Meditation to Self-Realization Show. I'm Jim.
And I'm Marion. And today we're going to spend some time sharing with all of you, our listeners, about a manifest that we took part in. It was a 3.5 hour manifest yogic vitality and health with Preetaji, who's a sage, a mystic, and a philosopher. And we would like to share some of what we experienced and learned in this manifest. But before we get started, I'd like to us all to do a little bit of breath together, breathing together, so that we can relax and open up to a union of one heart and one breath and one consciousness. So let's take some moments together and do some conscious breathing. Take a nice, slow, deep inhalation, and then an even longer, slower exhalation. And let's do several of those. Feeling your chest rise as you take that inhalation. And then feeling it fall as you take the exhalation. And consciously relax your facial muscles. And drop your shoulders. Close your eyes if you are able. And feel your belly rise as you take a deep inhalation. And then feel it shrink on the exhalation, pushing all the air out. And feel your heart expand on these inhalations. And now, when you inhale and then exhale, feel all aspects of your body relax, all the muscles, all the tendons, all the limbs. So that we can be in a very relaxed place. Taking an inhale and a long exhale, and gently opening your eyes and joining us this evening. Okay, so
I just want to explain a little bit of these manifests. You know, they
okay.
happen once a month from ACAM. You can join in if you go to ACAM, EKAM.org. And they usually last 3.5 hours. And Preetaji usually does the manifest and the presentation. And manifest is a great way towards purification. It's a spontaneous process that releases stuff from our unconscious mind. And there's different ones. The one we just did was for health and vitality. Is that the name of it?
Yogic vitality and health.
Oh, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll briefly discuss some of what we got out of that manifest. And we'll kind of take it from there. Take it away, Marion. You got some stuff you want to say. I can see it on your lips.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that it's a very special time to spend 3.5 hours with Preeti G, because she's very mystic, and one can lose all sense of time and sense of the body while we're in these, because we go through different processes. And as Jim was saying, we can heal on a very deep level, different aspects that come up from our subconscious. So one of the first gifts that Preeti G talked about in this manifest was the sacred connection that one has with one's body. And so once the body is in any sense of dis-ease, it's important to bring it back to harmony. And so there's different ways to open the pathways so that all the energies flow through the body. And most yoga people that do yoga know that it's they're called the chakras or energy centers. They have different names in different cultures.
And those energy centers that internally are connected externally by, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard about the aura. And so there's seven layers of aura, as there are seven chakras. And so if we think about everything being molecules and atoms, I love that. Oh, look at that smile. See, it's my molecular theory, but it's true. That's what we are. And so what we're trying to do is we're these bodily forms, and we're trying to let this energy that's all over the universe, the stars, it's the air, we're trying to let in the positive energy into our system. So we want to clear our aura, and the best way to do that so that energy can flow into our chakras is to work on our inner self, work on that, on our addictions and whatever prevents us, anything that causes us stress. So disease is a lot of times caused by the stress that we put upon ourselves because we don't take the time to clear out our unconscious mind.
And Preeti G did talk about that the root causes of diseases lies in our consciousness, because we disconnect from our body. And when we think about it, in our culture, our bodies are used to be doing. Even though we're human beings, we're constantly doing, especially in this day and age. So we can tend to be fairly disconnected from the body, and the bodies are more used or more focused on the beauty aspect or the athletic aspect that they provide us with. And it's important to go beyond this utter disconnect and move into a place where we treat our bodies with more love and respect and even compassion.
And compassion, all of the above, I have to agree, because really our small self, is in our physical body. And if we do deep and embrace the divine, the God within us, the spirit, the soul, if we can embrace that divine, then, and we can do this with deep meditations, which we do when we do the manifest. Preeti G leads us through these, as Marion said, processes. And they're very deep meditations geared towards one aspect of the manifest. And so it's a real opportunity to take the time to do that kind of meditating. And
And self-care.
And it's, self-care, you know.
Like, for instance, in our later years here, we have taken on different little rituals that help us love our bodies more. For instance, tongue scraping. In my younger years, I never thought of that, but on, you know, the tongue has a lot of bacteria that collects on there. So just one example is us doing our tongue scraping every morning, and then before we brush our teeth at night or after we brush our teeth. And it's amazing to see how that enlivens the taste buds, and it actually helps with the breath and digestion. I think we taste our food better. You don't, you don't have that extra layer on there. What's another way that we've taken in?
Well, like usually in the morning, we have this ritual in the morning where we tap. Yeah, I don't know if anybody's heard of tapping, but it's become quite a rage recently, and where we tap all the lymph areas around the ankles and the back of the knees and the groin and in front of the armpits and
those are the delta points, the lymph delta.
Delta. So we're opening up the lymphatic system by tapping, and then we brush massage in a certain direction upwards. Dry brush massage upward towards the heart, and then we take it up and over our shoulders and out of that delta lymph area, and then we take the time to give ourselves a oil massage with some sesame oil and
some different herbs,
other herbs,
Ayurvedic
herbs. Oils, and it's really nice because you're really loving yourself. You're taking the time to rub your body with oils and do each other's back if you have a partner. If you don't, there's ways to get to it.
Yes, with long arms.
And then eventually we take a cold shower. Yeah, once these oils kind of settle in and we rinse out our mouth with coconut oil, which will bring
swish
with coconut oil, and then spit that out, and that's getting everything
outside.
Out of the gums. Yeah. Yep, that's taking care of your gums. And we take a cold shower in the morning. I mean, cold, and we got glacier cold water coming out of the ground, and
especially in the winter.
And that wakes up everything, and it's just. And it really is a nice way to start the day. So that's a ritual of taking care of the body. And even through that physical ritual like that, I don't know, sometimes I get into a state of bliss just while doing it. It's just, bliss comes and goes, but it just feels so good. There's mornings when it's just, wow, this is really nice. And I'm in a whole different frame of mind. There's other mornings when I'm just doing the ritual.
Well, know? I think the biggest aspect that I appreciated is it really helps me to connect. I mean, it's true that every single time I'm not fully connected to my body. But, you know, if I have some pain in my wrist or even a knee, I'll take the time and do some circles, some clockwise circles, and just, you know, give it a good little massage and you know, express my gratitude, feel my gratitude for all the help that it affords me. And even while we're massaging, we're on the limbs, we're, doing kind of a vigorous working in the oils. And so it really does give us time to spend appreciating our toes, and our feet that carry us around.
And getting the circulation going.
And getting the circulation.
That in the cold shower, we'll get the circulation going.
And that dry brush massage, our skin is the largest organ in the body. And with I think I read recently 84,000 different toxins that the environment, between the environment and our what may end up in our food comes into the body. The skin is the best, you know, the largest organ to shed those toxins.
Plus you're scraping off the dead cells.
Yeah, the dead skin cells.
Yeah, top layer of that skin. So there's different ways to nourish the body. It's not just through food.
Right. And so this is something that we found actually through Kundalini yoga years ago that helped us have more self-connection, more connection with the body and all it, just loving it for all that it affords us every day of our lives. So
yeah, and that makes me more aware too of taking care of the body. So like today I've got this thing going on with my thumb, and so I was splitting wood today, and I went after this log that I knew I probably should have put through the log splitter. As opposed to using the axe. I love using the axe, and I hit that thing, and that the reverberation came all the way through and into this area of my thumb that I've been having problems with. And I recognized that. And I said, well, that's what's causing my thumb. I'm just keep injuring my thumb every time I do that. But I was aware of it, where in the past I was never aware of little things like that. So now I realize, well, if I want to take care of my body, it's log splitter when I see a log like that. And I'm not going to damage my thumb anymore. And it's just having that kind of awareness, because I took the time to really take care of my body this morning, and I felt it as opposed to just doing it. And it set my whole conscious mind. What do you call that? Mindfulness.
Yeah, there you go.
I have a day of mindfulness today. Even when I cut my thumb picking up that glass,
yeah,
that's a whole nother thing. But that gets into the way the mind app operates. And I was thinking, I'm going to don't cut myself. Don't. I don't want any glass. And sure enough, the very last little piece that I didn't even see pricked me.
Well, as a teacher, I learned early, honey, that whenever you say don't, you usually do.
Right.
So it's better to say, I'm going to be mindful to be careful of my thumb picking up this glass.
Mm.
So what Preetiji really stressed was how important it is to realize the magnificence that this body that we live within contains. The absolute magnificence that the body is a living microcosm of the universe. Now that, to me, is so wonderful.
Well, and she talked about that, how,
yeah,
you know, the universe, just start thinking about the stars, the air, the everything. And
the
so this
sunshine,
gets back to the molecular,
the
molecular theory. And so once we allow and recognize that, we can let all this energy that's out there for us to use flow into us, rather than separating ourselves out from the oneness of the universe.
Right. And it's such a beautiful concept when we embrace it and can allow ourselves to expand into that appreciation of how divine everything has been put into order.
It's kind of like a song, you know. Sometimes the song hits you that just really has an effect on you, you know, and you let it flow into you. And next thing you know, you're humming the melody and maybe singing it and dancing to it. And it's the same thing. All of a sudden, you're letting all that energy flow, and you can't help but experience a little bit of bliss.
Or a lot.
Or a lot. Keep it coming.
So one of the other things that was really stressed, and we have begun to practice, is being aware of our eating ritual. Because the Hindus have a very, and probably not all of them, when I was in India, the people that I was with, at Ekam, really, we really focused on making eating a ritual and a holy, a sacred experience. So we didn't talk while we ate, and we really focused on chewing. And actually, even before taking it into our mouth, we took time to look at the beauty of the colors and said a little inward prayer. And that can mean just looking at it and being grateful for it. I like to thank the sun and the rain and the hands that grew the food and the truckers that drove it to where from the field to my table, all the people involved in bringing forth the meal that I'm eating and all the elements. And so you know, everyone will have their own kind of prayer, but to be able to make the meal sacred.
Remember, you know, you just brought to mind, remember Zen?
Yeah.
The Colorado days? That goes way back. And anyway, he was this older gentleman that would come every summer, and we were 8,000 feet up off grid, and he'd cut all our firewood. He was an ex lumberjack. Anyway. And anyway, when he ate, I could just picture him now. He would start chewing and close his eyes and set down his fork and just enjoy that morsel of food that he put in his mouth before he started
chewing
again. That's one of the reasons we called him Zen. He'd always do stuff like that.
He was a great teacher.
Yeah.
One of our many great teachers. So that was that. And he really did. He sat with it in his mouth for a while, like feeling it or maybe giving gratitude. We never really talked to him about it.
Yeah. But now that you brought this up, that's what got all of a sudden I'm visualized in. Yeah.
So connecting with the food and trusting that it's going to give you the nourishment and be free of any harmful effects on the body. I mean, having that kind of conscious thought powering the food or empowering the food that we eat, and is eating with awareness. And then the deep breathing, Preacher G talked about taking some very conscious deep breathing while we're eating food, because the long deep breathing is the fuel that feeds the digestive fire.
Yeah, so then maybe we won't have to take any digestive aids. Is that what you're saying?
That's the plan.
When we
Save
ate lunch,
money.
When we ate lunch today, Marion touched my belly and said, "Start breathing." I said, "Well, let me finish chewing," and then she brought that up about, and it really was nice because it slowed me down, and you know, to enjoy the meal and then having that breath in between, you know, I've taken a pause so I can chew and digest and enjoy the food and
taste
it instead of just woofing it down.
Yeah, gulp, gulp, gulp.
Mm-hmm. So it was really nice. And then you mentioned something about exhaling.
Oh, well, yeah, exhaling. And Preetaji had talked about exhaling to at least the count of seven. And by the count of seven, our stomach is pulled back to our spine. You're just about getting every breath of air. And so, you know, we don't do it for every breath, but to incorporate that breathing certainly makes a difference. It certainly has for us. And the other good thing about the slow deep breathing is that it activates the parasympathetic system, which is all about digestion and helping our systems work in our body. So there we have it. We're being conscious, more conscious, in order to connect with the body and eliminate disease.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing that we talked about was movement. In our day and age, there's, you know, there's a lot of couch potatoes, and and here we are in Montana when sometimes the winters are, you know, you feel like you want to go for a walk, but then you look out the window and it's gloomy or windy or freezing cold and you don't want to go out. But Peter G mentioned that scientists are finding, or doctors, research is showing that movement can add 7 years to one's life.
I think she even talked about walking, what, at least a mile or two a day?
Yes, or one hour.
In one hour. For walking for 1 hour. And that reminds me of my grandpa Nick and even my dad. Every day they would take this walk, and it was, and my dad would time it. And they were walkers. Every single day they'd make sure. And so it was about a mile that both of them would walk, because I know where they walked. They walked
not together,
groceries.
Alone.
No, just alone. Every so often, but they, because
would have been nice for them to walk together.
Schedules. Well, oh, yeah, I'm sure they probably did. I was probably too young to recall all of that. That's not something I focused on growing up, but I'm sure they did, because Grandpa, they lived in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
He'd walk by the house, and I'm sure my dad joined them every so often when he was around. So
even if it's walking or bicycling or splitting
movements,
wood,
you know.
Yeah, yoga, dancing. Now, how fun is that? Put on some music and dance. And
get the little rebounder.
Yeah,
all the above, you know, some yoga, some just movement.
And then it's important too, to, which I can't say that I've done my whole life, or I certainly remember it more as a younger child. And now I'm beginning to be more conscious of walking mindfully and allowing the senses to be totally involved. Not just walking to walk, but, you know, hearing the birds, and or maybe someone has some chimes. I think it was last night we were walking and we could smell someone doing their laundry. And in Bozeman, I bet you experienced that even a whole lot more than we do. But, you know, even stopping to smell the roses.
Well, it's like even when I was at my chiropractor one time, and I was having some back issues, and he goes, "Let me see you walk." And he said, "Well, you're walking the wrong way. After all these years, I'm walking the wrong way." He says, "Yeah, you need to walk a certain way with your heel first and kind of on the outside of the foot and curl in the toe." So he suggested these orthopedics, which put an arch in my foot and everything, kept me from getting flat footed. And so when I walk, I'm very aware of that, especially if I'm wearing a shoe that doesn't have the orthopedic sole in it. And I'm very aware of now of how I'm walking, and making sure that I'm kind of rolling along the outside edge there and then coming in. And so that's really, you know, put me into awareness of how you walk, just like joggers, how they run, you know, and, you know, hikers. And so there's that whole awareness of how you're doing things.
Right.
That really make a difference physically.
And, right, because we do not want to injure ourselves.
Right.
Or do our bodies injustice. Mm-hmm. We've all suffered.
But it's so sweet to connect the body to awareness and witnessing.
Yes.
And it's not just a mind thing.
And even, you know, incorporating the breath into your walk or your bicycling. I mean, that really does engage deep breathing. Those bike rides up our major hill here. Not so much here in the winter, though. I think I did quite a bit of bicycle riding in the fall, not so.
But
not...
now you're on the subject of the prana and
The vital
the
energies.
vital energy of the breath and the prana and the throat, the chakra, right?
Yeah. I don't know that there was a whole lot of talk about our throat chakra, so to say, but we did talk quite a bit about how important the breath is in our healing process and how it awakens us to greater health. So there's a lot of different breaths that you can Google, you know, that are yogic breaths, pranayama. And we do one in the morning. We do various ones in the morning if we're doing the Ekam Health practice, which is on YouTube. It's another one is the Yoga Nidra.
That's what we're doing now.
Yeah. So there's a variety of different ones. Now, Preetaji did tell a story about a battle of the gods. And it was basically about the god Devas and then the demons. She, in Sanskrit, she had other terms for them, but that's how I understood it. And so they were both aware of the fact that there was a pot of divine nectar at the bottom of the ocean. And I'm guessing this is a mythical.
Sounds like a Krishna
mythical
story.
And so the nectar was for immortality. And so the two wanted that pot. The two forces, the god Devas and the demons, were both eager to find that pot. So there was a warring going on for this pot. And while the two forces are warring and trying to get to that nectar at the bottom of the ocean, out of nowhere appears a beautiful woman. And lo and behold, the demons got distracted and forgot their purpose. And so the gods were the ones that found this, were able to get to the nectar of immortality. And so the whole purpose of the story is to allow us to look at our addictions and how our addictions distract us and take us from our health.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know what's coming to me now? You know the collage I put on the kalimba?
Yeah.
And I've got a picture of little baby Krishna with his finger in the pot, and he's licking all the honey out of it, and the honey's flowing golden honey out of the pot.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of my addiction to maple syrup.
Yeah. That's
and so it. I tell my mind, yeah, but maple syrup comes out of a tree.
Right. He has
and
this
so
whole
it's,
little litany he's
so it's
vegan. Now.
I might become a tree hugger. I love it so much. But no, seriously, I'm just joking around.
Are you?
Well, I don't consider it an addiction.
exactly. So basically, the story pointed to our eye consciousness and how we crave things, you know, for our cravings and addictions, and how that brings on such a destructive state in our being.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the, so then we were asked to write down a list of our addictions that we had some time and we went into a process and we looked at our personal addictions.
So it was interesting last night, like one of the addictions is gossiping and how we like to talk about other people and compare them to us or whatever. And we were out on a walk last night and we found ourselves doing that and we looked at each other. Oh, so we wanted to get off of that subject because we realized that
we don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that
anymore.
It's such habits, you know, it becomes an addiction. And so there's You want to go through the list? It was pretty well, good because some are
this was just
possible addictions that you could look at.
Yeah.
But it's a nice combination
of
it's a nice combination because it's physical and mental addictions.
So, you know, the examples of possible addictions are drugs, and you know, there's the opiates, there's a real variety of drugs. So, and then food addictions, we're well aware of how we crave certain foods, sugar, shopping can become an addiction, even work becomes an addiction. You can relate to that. Repetitive thinking.
Oh, I was working on that one this morning during the meditation.
Repetitive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we can end up in the hamster cage going round and round and just ruminating on the same old things.
Oh, and then it gets you stuck in some kind of routine. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to need me.
Oh, I looked at repetitive thinking about like something happens in a relationship or an incident happens and you keep ruminating over it and it keeps popping up and you even talk to the person and then again it comes back up. And
well, it's like what I was telling you this morning about one of my partners, you know. And then I wanted to get involved, and because my competitive thinking was my ego going, oh, you better comment on this and put him in his place, and you know. And I decided not to send the email because I said, what the heck, you know, I'm going back to, you know,
years ago. So that was valuable to catch. Valuable for your state and for his, probably.
For his. And when I did the meditation this morning, that was not the type of repetitive thinking I was focusing on. But boy, it came to in a whole nother way to show me that there's just repetitive thinking is in a lot of different, what would I say is, you know, let's say my mind has a lot of closets and it was in one of those closets locked up secretly.
Yeah. And then there it is all of a sudden.
Oops. I didn't know it was there.
Here's another possible addiction: defending myself out loud or silently to myself.
Mm.
Ooh, how many of us do that on a regular basis?
I bet your partner does.
Who, you? Who, me?
I worked on that the other day. The first day of the week. It was the first one I worked on, in fact.
And then TV and other distractions. I mean, sometimes, you know, sometimes the distractions seem like they're necessary. And yet I think it's important to know when we're pulling up distractions, when there's something that either needs to be addressed within ourselves, within our relationship, within our environment, and make sure that we're not just avoiding some of these connections by flipping on the TV or picking up the novel or turning on the news and, or, you know, other things that are fearful, that bring on fearful thoughts. I mean, I would say our society has gotten pretty addicted to news these days, but I could be wrong. Maybe a lot of people feel like I do, that enough is enough.
Really? Oy.
I mean, I like to read a headline now and then on my phone and maybe dip in just to know what's happening, but it's... I know that I know that I've gotten.
If you listen to it and follow it for all these years, it's just repetitive thinking and repetitive doing, and oh my God,
so much that brings one down
mm-hmm.
easily. And then, of course, gossip. We spoke of talking or thinking negatively about people. Yeah, so we can gossip within ourselves, just thinking negatively about people. And then judging people or judging ourselves. And
Turning myself into a victim, that's a good one. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's an addiction that that I think we all can relate to at some level of being the victim. So, you know, so that a way to that Preetiji takes us through the process is that we sit quietly and like we wrote down our addictions so that we could look at them. So that, you know, first of all, we were aware of the fact that it was a process that we were addressing our addictions. And then we worked on then to look at one addiction and bring it to your attention and just sit with it and allow answers to the following questions to reveal themselves. So the first question is,
what is the thinking connected with this addiction?
What is the thinking connected with this addiction? So that takes some pondering. Then what craving is driving it?
And what's interesting about the word craving, how we think of craving as I want, I want, I want. And craving can also mean that, oh, I'll be glad when this is over.
Yeah, I don't want.
Mm-hmm. I don't want it. I want it to just be done with. And so you don't want to be accountable towards whatever you're looking for. So
what, or whatever's present.
You know, what craving is driving it? You know, it's not just
related to food.
Right. It's beyond food. You know, there's
it can be food, but
mm-hmm,
it's
but
not
there's something
just
there that you know,
that's driving it.
That's driving that issue.
So
what
and then,
beliefs are supporting it? Well, I just gave you the story about me and maple syrup.
Did you believe you're gonna become a tree hugger? You can become a tree hugger without drinking the whole quart of maple syrup on your pants.
I can get all the sap from the tree all over me.
So what is the feeling that this addiction is trying to cover up? Now that I had a powerful experience with this question because I looked at I looked at my addiction of going for sweets or, I mean, this going for sweets and then my ego puffing up and being better than someone else. And when I looked at this last question, what is the feeling that this addiction is covering up? I realized, I mean, before I knew it, tears were rolling down my face and it was just happening to me. And I had such a sense of the inferior feelings that I had contained in my body. And I could see these flashes of my childhood and having older siblings and strong authoritarian adults in my midst and constantly being told what to do and how to do it and, you know, even sometimes physically being made to do things. And then not only did I get the flashes of my own personal experience, then I could feel the same type of like observing my mother in a state of feeling inferior. And that took me to, oh my goodness, grandma too, my Busha.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Polish. And we used to call grandma Busha, but to see, you know, to remember her crying and you know, maybe it was just her emotional release, But that's that inferiorness. And then on the other side of the lineage, realizing the inferior, I don't want to say complex, but I guess that's what we refer to it as, an inferior complex that our children carry too.
Mm.
So when I realized that and saw it, it was so empowering because it felt like a release happened within me. And how did I trust and believe that it's also at the same time healing my lineage?
Yeah, forward boy, and you really went deep on that one. Now you got me thinking about what I shared earlier with the ego thing, where I wanted, you know, with my partner. And now you got me thinking how, you know, that gets in the way, because I want to be the one that's right, that has the right idea, has the right comments for a client or whatever. And so otherwise I'm feeling like I'm being made stupid, or, you know, dumb, or not, my thoughts aren't relative to the situation. So it really is an ego thing. And so now that's pretty deep.
Inferior.
Yeah. So then I go back to, if I want to, I could go back to my mom. You know, what was going through her head when she would get into these states of just kind of shutting down and perturbed. And that's what I'm kind of sensing now. We're not opening this up to a therapy session, because I could be here forever trying to figure this one out. But now I see it. What you mm-hmm. have just described is starting to take me back into the family lineage. Where did that come from?
Right. Where was it passed on from, or what incidents in my present or in my childhood brought those deep feelings? I mean, I had tears rolling down my cheeks, mm-hmm. and the sense of feeling it really woke me up to how deep those complexes run. And I don't believe it was just mine, because it was so intense. And because I saw my mother, I saw my grandmother, and then I saw my children. So, it was a whole string of events, and I'm grateful.
So that food for thought, pun intended, is worthwhile, because it releases us from the stress or the burdens that we might be carrying around. And unless we address them,
you are totally unaware of them. Unless we
how do you
take
get
the
to
time
a beautiful
to
state?
Time.
Yeah, you're in a stressful state or whatever, and how do you get to the beautiful state? So,
or how does one free oneself from addictions?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can't, if we just try to stop the behavior, we'll just pull out another addiction to replace the one that we. We stopped doing.
I'll get into honey instead of maple syrup.
Yeah, exactly.
How about that one?
Huh? Be my honey bear. You are my honey bear.
Krishna with his hand in the honey barrel.
Yeah. So I'm trusting that will be helpful for some or all of you out there.
It's helpful for me.
Yeah, it was for me. Another important concept that Peter G spoke of was the ojas. And ojas is the golden nectar that flows from our heart that brings us the vitality and vigor. And it spreads to all our energy centers or our chakras. It's a pure, subtle energy, and we can.
Well, there's a nice, if you go to ekam.org, ekam.org, and you'll get on the website, and then there's free meditations. And the Ojah meditation is one of the freebies. I do it a lot when I'm in the hot tub soaking at night. I'll throw this on. It's about 16 minutes, and it takes you through. Ideally, it's nice to just be laying down flat with your hands at your side.
Totally relaxed.
Totally
That's
relaxed. But
the actual way, the best way to do it.
But I'm pretty, you know, I'm kind of almost.
In any event.
But in any event, it's a real nice meditation. And
it's a connection with the moon energy.
With the
so
moon energy,
that's
the
one
chakras.
Of the ways that we can increase our ojas. And another way is in a very deep sleep, we can revitalize our ojas. And there's different, if you've ever done any Ayurvedic recipes, there's different foods that can help and different herbs that can build ojas. And so that's really what we need to free us to be a safety measure from all the bacteria and viruses that go around, is to have a strong or powerful ojas. Okay, and then we really also looked at our mind body, the thoughts and emotions and sensations that our thought impressions send through us. And so that our thoughts either take us to a beautiful state or they can take us to suffering state. And strong impressions, you know, like the one I spoke to you about my inferior complex. Sometimes these strong impressions become a home state. You know, like you constantly go there, you go home to it. And so I'm really grateful to have seen that, because it's been several days since we did this manifest, and I'm feeling confident that those inferior complexes don't have the same grip that they did on me. I haven't been craving sweets like I was prior to, and I haven't noticed any inferior feelings, so I'm grateful. And so it's important to realize that all stress will shrink our brain. Stress just does that. It shrinks our brain. It shrinks the hypothalamus. And so that's why we're doing this radio show, to enhance one's desire to meditate.
And I just read a great article in the newspaper about meditation and the effects, how many people are doing it these days. And that people throw that word out, scientifically proven, but you know, they've done a lot of studies, and they're starting to realize how it enhances one health and longevity by doing meditation and to free yourself from
stress. So, you know, we're always in a rush, and every time we're in a stressful state, there's a flood of stress chemicals that enter the body, and as a result, there's a lot of people having problems sleeping or that are depressed. And so this is an avenue to explore.
And help oneself.
Yeah, to help oneself.
Because then you can get into what they call the Tejas, and this is the fire of the mind.
The Tejas are, they build the tissues.
Oh, there you go.
They build the tissues so it can fire the mind, and so that you have
keener
perceptions and clear thinking, and you know, to resolve problems in ease, with ease.
Gives you a sense of fearlessness.
Oh,
you know, if you can solve problems, you know, this is what I love about living life experientially, is if somebody's telling me how to solve an issue that I'm going through, it's not as much fun as if I solve it on my own and then check in with, is that, did I do it? It's just like doing when I did the electrical. All right, I'm going to tackle this on my own. And the inspector comes and, oh, well, you got to do this. Oh, okay, great. You know.
And so, you passed.
And I passed
the inspection.
But,
so, hallelujah.
We're getting pretty near. This has gone on. So would you have one more thing? Or?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to also say that the Tejas, which is the tissue building energy in the body, it creates a stronger aura and leaves us with more courage. And that's where you got fearlessness from, and fearlessness. and so I'm grateful to have manifested more clarity and vitality, to be mm-hmm. freed up from the grip of the inferior complex. And I was surprised to see that was the cause of, I believe it was three addictions. I didn't find three this today. Three didn't pop up for me today while I was sharing, only two sweets and wanting to be bigger and better than someone else.
Mm.
So,
well, I think that's a nice way to end the show.
Well, are we going to play our signature song?
Well, we ought to sing it ourselves today.
Oh, okay. We haven't practiced for a while, so hopefully we can get a nice harmony going.
This is to your health and vitality.
And to your avenue of meditation to self-realization.
May the long time sun shine upon you, all of and the pure light in you, guide your way.
And may you manifest health and vitality in this 2023 new year.